Bibles and go to Luke chapter 9. I'll get off of the dog stories and the cow stories and steak. If you didn't have supper, I'm sorry. Neither did I. Normally come in Wednesday and I just stay throughout the duration and just wait it out. Miss Dory sometimes will feed me on Wednesday night after I go home. Sometimes she doesn't, but that's okay. Yeah, I love her anyway. Well, living in America, wow, what a blessing. Think about living in America. People want to put down America, but you always say, compared to what? Well, I love Israel, but I wouldn't want to be in Israel tonight. Okay? But by the way, God is using all these things in preparation for the nation of Israel. All of these things, it's not good that God works all things after His plan. It's not good that Israel's been attacked. And if you think for a second that Israel would intentionally bomb a hospital, you are sadly mistaken. Okay? Why in the world would anybody believe terrorists in anything they have to say who have cut off babies' heads is something beyond my wildest imagination. Anybody that did that, I wouldn't believe them if they said the sky was blue. And I said, must not be today. Just must not be today. Well, after our time here living in America, a few hundred years, I guess, we have pretty much everything handed to us on a silver platter. Sometimes I think it'd be if we could have about 10, 20 years to go back to the early pioneer days to get a little bit more grit, a little bit more honesty, bowed back, hard works, faith towards God, realizing that the government's not going to take care of us hand and foot, I think it would serve our country well. I really do. Now, you say, well, be careful what you wish for, you know. You don't have a bath, you have a path. And I get it. But I'm all right with a little bit of that. I tell you, I am. My wife, her idea of camping is a national park with showers. When I started camping, I had a blanket, and I would park the little car. I'd park it up on a hill and crawl up underneath, and that was my tent for the night. That's where I started. That's where I started. And you know what? I was fine with it. But I couldn't get her underneath that car. She's a little bit like Brother Daniel the Lesser. She doesn't like spiders and snakes either. Matter of fact, I had to kill one today. She comes squalling in the house. There's a snake in the garage. There's a snake in the garage. I said, well, kill him. She said, I ain't killing him. You kill him. And I said, I'm going to leave him out there. He's going to be my new pet. She said, not. So I went out there and I killed him. But we've got now pretty much things that is handed to us on a silver platter. We have been born into the wealthiest nation. I mean, it's unbelievable. You look at the population. This is a large place, by the way. This is a large country. And we are a wealthy, wealthy nation. We organize institutions that even make life easier and work less and less all the while. It seems like America wants to become Europe. In Europe, you wonder how they even put beans and blanket together. They always on what they call holiday. You know, I mean, it seems like they're on holiday more than they're ever at work. And I don't know how they make it work, but they got something figured out over there. But a lot of people seem to think that the country owes them a living these days. You owe me. I noticed when I said, and I probably could have said it a little bit more articulately, but when I said Sunday that I hate communism, I got some rise from that. And I said, I hate socialism just about that much less than I hate socialism. But I mean that. I'm not trying to go Trump on you. I'm just saying there are things that are becoming to the gospel of Christ and there are things that are counterproductive to the gospel of Christ. And communism is counterproductive to the cause of Christ. It makes everybody a bunch of lousy takers and losers and waiting on everybody else to do everything for them. You may have a job, but you have no incentive of life, no zeal, no passion. So we've lost sight of that old saying, you know, ask not what my country can do for me, but what can I do for my country? You know, we just got a lot of takers in this world instead of a lot of givers. So we want our government to feed us, spoon feed us, clothe us, and then burp us all at the same time. This mentality has drifted over into the churches. I told you, and it's not private information anymore. One time I grabbed old Brother Ben Springer, who I talked to today and I love, in Atlanta, Georgia, and I grabbed him and I said, you're a socialist and don't know it. And he said, what? And I said, you're a socialist and don't know it. You are a taker You're a taker in life. And then I had to explain. And I said, we don't feel too bad because most of the people in your generation are socialists and don't know it. And that's true. It's true. I'm glad to tell you he's no longer a socialist. Now, he was never politically, but just the mindset. And that mindset has infiltrated over into the Lord's churches. And if it's bad for a country, and it's bad, it's bad. If you went over to like Lithuania, where I was at one point, and after the communism fell, the guys, this thing, you know, they didn't want to hardly go to work. You couldn't hardly get the men to stand up and do anything in church. The women were more aggressive than the men were. And they just were so accustomed to the government providing everything, they didn't know what to do to provide for themselves. And you have a whole nation like this. And that's what it does. That's the end result, how it works out. Well, this has infiltrated churches. And that's why it takes more. Years ago, the Dallas Morning News did an article with Prestonwood Baptist Church. And Prestonwood Baptist Church right now is a glowing example of a more conservative church compared to the crazy things that are going on in some of the other sister churches. But years ago, it said that the pews are full, but the plates are empty. Dallas Morning News, a liberal paper like the Dallas Morning News, made the case that it's taken more people to do as much as far fewer people used to do in the houses of God. Now, why is that? It's the quality of the people. It's the quality of the people. You know, where they used to be able to get a lot more accomplished with a lot less, now they have to have a lot more people showing up to get the same thing accomplished that they used to accomplish with a quarter of that population 40 years ago. What's happened? The quality of the people. The quality of the people. Now, everyone who's been saved have been saved at the foot of the old rugged cross. But I find many people today who unfortunately, and it's disappointing, and preachers get disappointed too. It's disappointing to find Christian people playing games at the foot of the cross. Playing games. This is not a game. Some people try on Christianity and, you know, like to do try on shoes. And if they don't like them, they'll take them back. They'll wear them for a couple of years and then take them back. Well, wait a minute. They're already wore out. It already has your wart right here embedded in the shoe. That wart that's on your toe that you don't want anybody to know about. That wart. Well, after a miracle supplying the multiplying of the fish and loaves, the Lord asked this question in chapter 9, verse 18. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. Now these are his followers. He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. Well, that's a first pretty good guess. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged him and commanded them that to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. So the Lord's basically just laying out what's going to happen. He's going to be suffering. He's going to have to die. And Peter, we know, took him aside according to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and rebuked Jesus. Now, can you imagine the gall of Peter to rebuke the Lord? I mean, you might think, well, Peter, who in the world do you think you are? Well, Peter probably, his wife probably told him that a lot. Okay? One of the people say, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to this one. I want to talk to that one. The people say, I want to talk to Peter. I want to talk to Peter's wife. Boy, you want to talk about somebody who would have some stories. Peter's wife would have a bucket full of stories. Let me tell you about one time what he did. Let me tell you one time about what he said. You think I say some things that I shouldn't say. I got nothing on the Apostle Peter. I'll tell you that. And that's the gospel truth. You can take it to the bank. Well, he's taking the Lord aside and he's rebuking him. And then the Lord gives it right back to him when he tells him, Satan, get behind me. Now, this is the reason Christ came to earth. Christ came to earth to suffer and to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. It is in the reflection of these words that we then read in verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, Joel Osteen will not preach that verse because it's not the New Age, warm, fuzzy, feel good kind of message. But the Lord did. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, not ingratiate himself, not make himself wealthy, not walk on other people and call it Christianity. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, not just, oh, so I can feel good about how humble I am, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father and of the holy angels. Now I want to give you four demands here of discipleship. And when I say four demands, these are not things the Lord says, well, if you would like to consider these things. He's saying, if you want to be mine, if you want to be my disciple, here's what you need to do. Now, that's pretty straightforward. Used to be, if you want to get a high school certificate of graduation, this is what you need to do. You need to graduate first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, sixth grade too, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. And then, son, we'll give you a certificate of graduation from high school. Now what's going on? That's okay. And so we have kids graduating, can't even read. Oh, but they think a man can breastfeed, but they can't even read. God help us. Amen? I mean, God help us. By the way, a man cannot breastfeed, just in case you were just kind of curious about that. But he's giving these qualifications. He's saying, if you want to be my disciple, here's what you've got to do. Now, personally, I like that. If I get hired by a man or by a woman, though a man must have clabber to work for a woman, clabber for a brains. That's what John Wayne said. I have to throw something in there because I ate at True Grit Restaurant four times when I was in Colorado. I did. And I won't tell you what I ate at one of those meals, but it has something to do with oysters and it's not seafood. You got it? I got it. All right. That's all I'm going to say about it. Now, some of you are really curious about what it was, but I wasn't the only one. Miss Tori ate some of it too. Just for the record. Just for the record. But no, I wouldn't mind. I'm kidding about working for a woman and having clabber for brains. But that was in True Grit, that was a line, you know. A man must have clabber for brains if he works for a woman. She has no generosity, you know. You say, man, you seem to know that pretty good. Of course I know it pretty good. I'm an American. What do you mean? You can't be a good American without knowing John Wayne. All right, where am I? Okay, here are the things that he said. The first demand is you got to make a decision. Have you noticed a lot of people just don't want to make decisions in life? They cannot make decisions. Make up your mind. We stand there, we got 40-year-olds standing at a shopping center looking at everything they could get, and they got money to burn in the pocket, and they just stand there drooling. Pick out something. Choose something. Some people look at menus forever. Choose something. We're starving to death. Choose something to eat, right? You got to make a decision. Some people, they hate making decisions. My wife, I tell you, I'll say, where do you want to go eat? She said, oh, anywhere. And then I go to pull into anywhere. There's all kinds of restaurants named anywhere. And you pull in there, and she says, oh, here? I mean, anywhere. She didn't say anywhere, but here. They have names too, you know. But I go to, well, you said anywhere, right? Well, if you didn't want to go here, why didn't you say anywhere but? Any men know what I'm talking about? Amen? No, get off of that subject. You're going to hang me before it's even midnight. All right, decision. Look at verse 23. He said unto them all. Now, every single one, he's talking. People say, preacher, are you talking to me? I used to try to be politically correct. I was a little bit more timid when I was young and dumb. And I would say, well, no, you know, I'm really just preaching what I think the Holy Spirit of God would want me to preach. You know, really soup it up, make it sound really spiritual. Well, I got over that a long time ago. And I said, yes, I'm talking to you. Well, you know, kind of one of those Lucy moments. Well, yes, I'm talking to you. If any man will come after me. Any man. Well, John 3:16 says, whosoever. So for one to become a disciple of the Lord, it requires a personal decision. We've had people through the years, very few, but it's always troubling when it happens. I think maybe two, at most three, if my memory serves me right, who have dangerously said, I've always been saved. Nobody's always been saved. I understand you get old and senile and you kind of lost it, but that wasn't the case, okay? I've always been saved. Nobody's always been saved. You have to make a decision. Everybody, each person has to make their own decision. There is no proxy Christianity. Sorry, Mormons, if you're a Mormon here, I'm sorry. But there is no proxy Christianity. You cannot get baptized for somebody else. There's no proxy Christianity, anything. If any man, singular, will come after me. Grandparents love their grandbabies. My wife loves our grandbabies more than she loves me. I'm quite jealous about it, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. She still loves them more than she loves me. The other day, after Caselyn left us, Miss Jolene, Sunday, she said, you seem to be a little upset about that. And I said, does it show that much? She said, just a little bit, preacher, just a little bit. So she sent me a little funny. He said, I hope this makes you smile this week. I love her. She's a good cheerleader. What's it talking about? Oh, decisions, making decisions. Each person has got to make up their own mind. And when you make up your own mind, it's got to be your doing. It's got to be not grandma or granddaddy. It's got to be you. So many people say, well, my granddaddy was a preacher, my uncle was a preacher, this, that, and the other. I was raised in a Christian home. I thank God you were raised in a Christian home. But for you to be a Christian, you've got to make up your own mind to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no such thing as proxy Christianity. Blessings of God are passed along from generation to generation because of the practice that we do, but it's not passed along because of a genetic code. Just because you have brown eyes like your daddy doesn't mean that you're a Christian like your daddy. Or like your grandma. Or like your grandma. The Bible says, whosoever believeth. So many today seem to think that just pretty much anything goes. Well, no, anything doesn't go. And you've got to make up your own mind. You've got to make up your own mind. I, through the years, have wanted to help somebody. Kind of, I'll help you make up your mind. But I found I can't do it. It is a chore of vanity. And parents sometimes try to make up their children's own mind. And I'm here to tell you, that won't work either. As much as we would love to be able to do that, sometimes we see them making the dumbest of mistakes, and we just think, boy, if I could just help them, if I could just get them. But they have to make up their own mind. And you know what? We were the same way. And we had to make up our own mind about it. Years ago, Southwestern Seminary, they had a big brouhaha over there. They simply asked all the professors, now these professors teaching preacher boys, but grown men. They asked them to sign a simple statement. It says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, you might recognize that to be a quote right out of the Word of God, and you would be right. And they asked those professors to sign that, and many of them wouldn't sign it. They could not even muster up enough faith to sign something that was a quote right out of the very Word of God. And that's the people they were training preachers to go out in churches and pastor churches all across the country. Kind of dumbfounding, isn't it? Making up your mind. Now, each person has to make up their mind, and children are not an exception. You must choose. And your children must choose. And you grandparents, your grandchildren, they must choose. Woody Cash used to have a saying back in school. He had a lot of little nifty sayings. He was a fun professor, too easy, but he was a fun professor. The hard ones I found were the best professors, but they were the hard ones. And he used to say, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So I had a man the other day, and he says, well, what's your background, you know? And I said, I'm a Baptist preacher through and through, and I'm not ashamed of it. And he said, well, about this and what about? I said, well, if I wanted to be a manipulator, I'd turn into a charismatic and make a bunch of money on it. I'm here to tell you, I can urge you, I can caution you, I can preach to you, I can try to hang you over hell until your false teeth fall out. But you got to make up your own mind. And I'm probably still guilty to one degree or another trying to help people make up their mind. People come into the church and you wish them the best and you want to see them trophies of God's grace. And I'm probably guilty. Yeah, I probably am. But I tell you, it all comes right down to it. It comes down to an individual choice. You've got to make your decision. You have to believe in the Lord. Well, we still have enough passion to believe some things around here. We believe the Bible is God's holy word. We do. We do. We're not ashamed of that. We believe it's God's holy word. We still Jesus, but born of a Virgin Mary. Yeah, we still believe that. We still believe Jesus walked on water. We believe that Jesus brought life to the dead, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. Still believe sin is still sin, and righteousness is still righteousness. Still believe that. We still believe that everybody needs to repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. Still believe that. Somebody says, well, you're kind of old-fashioned. I guess if that's what you call truth, then call it that. Because that's who we are, and that's who I am. Somebody said, well, you're really kind of a young man to be such an old-fashioned preacher. Well, thank you. I kind of consider that to be a compliment. Meddle not with those given to change. I'd hate to trace after somebody that's changing his mind about genders every 5 years. My lands, it takes longer than that to raise a baby. Speaking of... I'll have more to say about that later. But today, we're bombarded with the decisions. We really are. You go to the store and you get all of these selections and you say, man alive, what I want. The only menu I've ever taken exception with, where was that at? It was the pink lemonade place. Not Chili's. That one over here off 75. Nope, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's menu is boring. They don't have much of any. It's good, but it's boring. No, the one that has the strawberry with the sugar on the top of it. They have a bunch of pies and everything like that. Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake Factory. Their menu is like an encyclopedia. You with me now? Okay, too many decisions, you know, too many decisions. You know, I was talking to Brother Giordano not too long ago, and he said his son, you know, I said, well, how's he doing? I said, oh, he's doing great out there in Arizona. He said, yeah, there's 60,000, 30,000 girls running around here in yoga pants and purple hair. You know, well, don't choose one of them, you know, one of those things. But you got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision for the Lord. Each one must choose. That's why Joshua said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, when you stop and think about it, you're serving yourself. That's called humanism. or you're serving some governmental system, maybe communism or social, you follow me? You're making a choice to choose to serve something or someone. I would ask you, what better choice can you honestly and realistically make than choosing to serve the Creator God? Can you think of anyone that's more worthy of your choosing to follow than Jesus? President Biden? President Trump? President Kamali? I mean, Lord help you. We really would need some help. Decision. Second thing, discipline. Discipline. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I told Miss Cindy I was going to use her. The other day, bless her heart, she came up here to help us with the work day. She has MS, and so she can't feel the bottom of her feet and her legs, and you know, up to a certain area. And she got over here in ant beds, and she got tore up with fire ants. 60-something bites, 60, 60, 70, higher, 70 bites. He's going higher. And I looked at her legs. Well, I better say, I looked at her ant bites. She has a bunch of them. And first thing I said, are you scratching those? Because if I have ant bites, I'm scratching every single one of them. If I get an ant bite, it gets a blister, I pop the blister. Though my wife says, you're not supposed to pop the blister. Kids, do not do this at home, but I'm telling you, it feels great. I pop the blister. If I have a scab, I'm picking at it. You know, I'm just one of those, you know. And, I mean, it itches. If it itches, scratch it, right? I mean, I get poison ivy. Boy, I'm going to have it for longer than I should because I'm going to be scratching. I mean, it's begging me to scratch it, you know. And then you go to bed at night, you fall asleep, and in your subconscious, you're saying, scratch. Oh, it feels good, you know. It's sort of like that old hound dog and all the, you know. Oh, it feels so good, feels so good. It takes a lot of discipline not to scratch something that itches. It does. Or not to eat something that you really want to eat. That takes a lot of discipline. She's disciplined. Her husband's not. But Miss Cindy, she's disciplined. She hasn't scratched any of those ant bites. And I would have scratched probably every single one of them. Every single one of them. Dedication. We're going to get to that. That's number three. But discipline, the personal discipline, the denial of self. It's easy to be said. It's not easy to do. Denying self. The other day I was talking about one of our ladies, and it was in a good way. Now, there's sometimes I don't in a good way, but most of the time it's a good way. But I was talking about, now I mean that ministerially, you know. But I was talking about how good of a servant they are. And boy, they are. Just terrific, terrific servant. Does that mean that they don't have an interest? That mean that they don't like to do certain things or wouldn't like to do something a little bit different? No. But they're willing to deny themselves for others. Now, we have a number of people in our church who do not know that all the things that I know about them. And a number of those are such wonderful servants that if I talked about them honestly and openly, it would create jealousy, I think. Because it'd feel like, man, I'm just blowing their horn. I'm tooting their horn, you know, so much, so much. I'm here to tell you, we have some selfless people in this church who lovingly and often, often deny their own wishes, deny their own time. Your time belongs to you. And they deny themselves much to serve other people. They do. And God bless them for it. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is teaching about this very same thing. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest Thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Now, for the seed to do good, it has to be buried, and it has to be sacrificed. But that seed can produce much more than itself if it's willing to give itself in sacrifice for others. The people who will accomplish the most for the kingdom of God are selfless people, not selfish people. Selfless people. And selfless people are disciplined. They've learned how to be disciplined in their desires and in their conduct. They've learned how to do it. Think about all the grannies. You got good family here. Ohio people, we won't hold that against you. Somebody says, do you know where Ohio is? I don't know where half the country is if it's above the Mason-Dixon line. I'll just tell you that right. I'm kidding. But if you think about the grannies, when you families and all would get together, why is it that the grannies would always make sure all the men had the best choices of chicken and the children were well fed before they sat down and got their plate? And if there wasn't any meat left, and the grannies just put some of the beans on there, got a little piece of cornbread, you say, well, Granny, wasn't there any chicken left for you? Oh, no, I didn't want any chicken. I just want some beans and cornbread. Let me tell you, that was the best among us. They had the discipline to love families and build great heritage of children. Discipline. Grannies could do it better than anybody. Grandpa, show up. What we got to eat today, you know? But so grannies. God bless the grannies. Discipline. Self-denial is something we find very difficult. Let me ask you, just to get this a little show and tell kind of thing. Can you recall something you did, say in the last 6 months, which you can say you denied yourself for the pleasure of somebody else? That you wanted to do this and you decided not to do that because somebody wanted to do something different that you might not have been really wanting to do or crazy about, but you were willing to do it and to do it with a full heart so that they would have a great time. Can you point to anything that you've done like that? If you can't point to that as a husband or wife, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, because that should be the model of giving yourself to your husband or giving yourself to your wife. I mean, watching a chick flick, it takes a lot of discipline. It does, but I know my wife likes those chick flicks. Am I not to be her servant? Yeah. Trust me, she watches enough war shows and John Wayne stuff with me. I have to twist her arm a little bit, but she does. But I'm talking about being disciplined. Can you point to things? Can you say, well, I did this and I didn't want to do this, but I did this. People who are disciplined and have a practice and make it a lifestyle of being disciplined in their life, those people are highly prone to be greatly used of God, and if not careful, they'll be called into the gospel ministry, because that's what ministry is a lot about. It's about serving others instead of demanding everybody serves you. So can you point to anything? Can you objectively point to anything? I did this, I didn't want to do that, but I did it. And I didn't do it like, okay, can't we do something else? No, no. Act like that's what you wanted to do all along. Come on now, come on, right? That's what you wanted to do all along. Just like Granny with that piece of chicken. I didn't want any chicken today. Matter of fact, I'm trying to watch myself. You know, I would just have some beans and cornbread. I love these beans. Martha, those beans are the best beans in the world. Granny, you made those meats. Yes, but I gave you the recipe a long time ago, and I think you fixed it up. It's even better than mine. Right? Number three, dedication. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily. If living the Christian life was a matter of living the Christian life for 2 years, a lot of people would get the job done. You can do pretty much anything for 2 years. I got socks much older than 2 years old. I got shirts that I took pictures with my babies in. Then if I could still wear them, I took pictures in when they were teenagers in those same shirts. Dedication. It's not good enough that we deny ourselves. There are monks around the world who are good at denying themselves, but they're not dedicated to the things of the Lord as they should be. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, let me just go into number four. Determination. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Determination. I read this years ago and I like it and I keep it around for such occasions. Determination is like an 18-year-old boy, not so good looking. Frankly, I'd just say ugly. Not so good looking, not wealthy, not so well built. And he asks a great looking homecoming queen, would you go out with me to the movies on Friday night? She says, no. He says, well, how about a pizza then on Saturday? No. Well, would you be willing to ride around the block with me then on Sunday? No. Well, how about just a friendly hello on the front porch on Monday morning? No. I said, but can I have a kiss? That's determination. Determination. I don't know. It seems like sometimes the roles have been reversed. The guys need more determination and the girls need a little less. You know what I'm saying? The guys need some help, some determination in life, some zeal, some initiative. What is it that you want to do in life? Well, I don't know. Well, how old are you? 52. Think you might be able to try to start thinking about that anytime soon, do you? Determination. He said in the law, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me. Who are you following? Follow me. I choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord can save our soul. Vince Lombardi, he's a great football coach for those who don't know anything about history. He said, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will. And I'd agree with that. I've said it this way through the years. There's more umph and triumph than anything else. Umph. The will. How bad do you want it? And I was talking to I think it was Josiah the other day. He's coming. Josiah played football, as you all know. He should play football. Anybody who weighs 300-something pounds, he ought to play football. And he did. But talking to him about, you know, the cheesy show Rocky, the series, you know. And I know it's cheesy. And every time I say it, I kind of have to duck my head. I'm kind of ashamed of it that, you know, I have watched the Rocky shows and all of them more than once I have. But the thing that I like, really I love about the shows is some of the truth that come through there. And is, you're all heart, Rock, you know. You're all heart. Man, you got to have heart. You got to have heart. When I played football, I didn't weigh near what Brother Josiah did. But I'd always end up running that ball at the end of the season because those boys, they didn't want that ball no more. You know what I'm saying? They didn't like to get hit. Well, I was kind of a strange kind of guy, Brother Greg. I didn't mind getting hit, and I liked to hit back. You know, and the bigger they were, the more I liked to hit them. And that's probably what's wrong with me today. They clocked me more than once, you know. I dented one helmet, cracked another one. I mean, I didn't mind hitting. I'm going to go head to head. And they didn't get after all that. But I hit a Folkestone boy one time, and man, he about knocked me into 2 years from yonder, you know. Big old farm boy, man, I went head to head with him. But I tell you what, he knocked me flat, but I earned his respect. I earned his respect. And there's just something about having some grit, having some will. You know, one more round. I love that about the Rocky. One more round. Yo, Tommy. Yo, Tommy. I didn't hear a bell. Not yo, Adrian. Yo, Tommy. The fight's on. I didn't hear a bell. One more round. I love that. One more round. Will to get up. Fight again. God give us men. God give us ladies the willpower to get up. When you got a wayward teenager, a willpower to get up. Go again. Go again. Go again. Yo, Tommy. One more round. I didn't hear a bell. Life's not over. The fat lady had some saying. Poor fat ladies. No pun intended back over there. I'm sorry. We say, well, I've got an impossible job. God's the answer to that. You do realize that most problems are spiritual in nature. The solutions are spiritual. Impossible health conditions, God is the answer to that. He'll give you a new body one day. Impossible home, God's the answer. Impossible children, God's the answer. Impossible marriage, God is the answer. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I pray that God will help our church to be the type of people who will make decisions. Make up your mind. Do you want to live a life of a Christian? I don't mean, do you want to live a year of a Christian life or a month? Do you want to live the life of a Christian? Yes or no? Then that to me means I want to graduate from first grade, second grade, third grade, age 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 25, 26, 32, 33, 34, and all the numbers in between, all of them. And one day, you'll put my body in a grave. And it may be right here, in a coffin. And every day, from way back yonder, to all of those days, are lived to a testimony to die well. To live well and to die well. Now, to me, that's what I think of when I think of I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. I'm not making a decision to follow Jesus for 6 months. I'm making a decision to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. That means every year. That doesn't mean until the kids are gone. That means all the days of the rest of my life. One of the worst things I can think of is when people have all the kids are raised now, go raise hell like they did. You just ruined everything. No, make that personal decision. If Jesus was worth saving your soul, He's worth living for the rest of your life. Make that decision. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Get in the business of learning how to deny yourself. Men, watch those chick flicks. You can do something else later. But, you know, deny yourself for your wife. Deny yourself for your husband. And usually that's much easier done. Ladies just do a better job at it, I think, you know. But men, learn how to deny yourself for your boss. Learn how to deny yourself for your Lord. Learn how to deny yourself for your church. Learn how to deny yourself. Dedicate yourself to the Lord daily. Paul said, I die daily. Some people think, well, you know, I made a decision. Well, you know, tomorrow's a new day. And you probably need to follow through with that decision. And then, of course, determined to follow the Lord. Not only with just a passing determination, but that determination the type of determination which built this country. You with me? The type of determination that built churches all around our country, where the church bells rang and called people to worship years ago. And when people feared God and would get up on Saturday with the intention, Saturday night's coming and it's bath night. You know, the whole idea of taking a bath Saturday night, that is well founded. That's just not just a quaint saying. Because people didn't have all the things we have today. And they took baths on Saturday night so they could be ready to go to the house of God on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Those kind of people built this country. They built this country that has now kind of spoiled most of us. And we think, well, if that meal takes more than 3 minutes, I'm going to be disappointed. Instead of Granny was up at 4 o'clock in the morning getting everything ready for Sunday dinner. It takes just enough time off to pull her apron off and run and jump in the buggy to make it in time for Sunday school. And she gets back home just as fast as she can because she wants her family, whole family there, you know, to be fed well. Think about it. Let's stand.